1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. I'm Brady Safranik. Good morning. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. And joining me in studio this morning, Charles Oskey, superintendent over at Arvada Claremont. How are we doing today?
Great. Hey, thanks for the opportunity to be here again this morning and kind of talk about all the great things that are happening in Sheridan 3.
Absolutely. And let's jump right into it as we are rolling into, what, the third quarter here of the school year?
Yeah, it's been a great year. You know, I have to say with the transitions we've had and the budget cuts, you know, not having a K-12 principal this year, we were able to pass a lot of responsibilities on. And we've had some great accomplishments. The kids are doing well. We went through accreditation. We went through an assessment audit with the Wyoming Department of Education. We're rebuilding our assessment system to align to doing assessments according to standards. So we have a lot of things that are going on, and it's been a very successful year. We have some growth in some areas, but more importantly, the focus back on the kids and what they're doing. And you know, we look at what the kids have done this year, not only in the classroom, we're showing growth there, but on the sports field, you know, all the way from volleyball season to junior high girls basketball. We got high school basketball programs going right now and the junior high boys programs going. So it's a busy part of the year, but reality is when we sit down and look at it, we've had a really great year.
You know, and you mentioned that you go the school year without a principal. Talk a little bit about that and the differences maybe between being superintendent at a small school where maybe you can get away with that rather than at a big school and you know, maybe the differences between the two and kind of what you're doing to fill that position this year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's one of the things that we did in order to make sure that funding goes to the kids in the classroom. We got to keep quality teachers there. But with that, the duties and responsibilities didn't go away. So what we do like we always do is we think outside the box and that creativity. Some of those responsibilities got passed on to staff members. Again, I'm going to give some credit to our staff. They've really stepped up the game. But it came down to three things when we started this. We're talking about instruction, classroom management, and student engagement in the classroom. And that has been our focus. So making sure that we're doing what we need to be doing in the classroom. And then we reached out and did some collaborative services with Johnson County and to do that formal piece of observation. So we have a gentleman, Jake Evans, who has his administrative degree up here, who we're doing collaborative services with, that comes down and does the formal evaluations to make sure we're meeting that accountability. And then to continue that professional growth, a retired administrator here that lives here in this town, Frank Pratt, is also coming in and just doing general walkthroughs and helping the teachers grow. So those are some things we did there. We have a dean of students. We have some support staff that are kind of helping with kids. And you know, it's worked out quite well. I've always said this. We have an amazing staff down there, and we've been able to kind of piece it together. With that, there are things that we miss here and there, and it's a trial year. I mean, I'm not going to paint a whole bed full of roses. We have some things, but the priority is the kids. And we've had some growth opportunities this year, but when you sit down and look at the positives, we're in a pretty good place. And, you know, this upcoming recalibration and funding is real critical to us again, because we're kind of at that skeletal crew, and we can't really start asking more out of our teachers for less. And so that's kind of one of our main focuses right now for the next couple months.
And kind of talk about the recalibration and funding. Obviously, education funding is a major topic now, especially as they're about to go into legislative session.
Absolutely. I think some real critical decisions are going to be made this recalibration session. We just finished up with the recalibration meeting last week, and it was a good meeting. APA, which is the firm that the state hired to go out and do some research and come back and present to them on how we fund schools in the state of Wyoming, come back with a recommendation that, you know, in some cases we're underfunding education according to the basket of goods. But out of that, they got some real good information on what we're doing. You know, we are a high-performing state compared to other states in the nation. And our kids are getting a quality education, to kind of sum it up. And that's a good thing. But also from my point of view, you know, revenues are not as we're not as wealthy as we used to be. So we have to find that medium, and we want to work together in that process. Another good piece of news that came across was the Craig report, and our revenues are up. So it's not quite the doom and gloom that was out there a year ago. So I think we can come to a happy medium. You know, the collaborative services that we do with Johnson County, you know, Campbell County and Sheridan 1 also extend their hands to us in Sheridan 3. And, you know, we get a lot of things going there, but we're just a rural school. We have kids that we serve from all the counties that come, and we have kids that, you know, ride the bus in some cases an hour and a half just to get there one direction. And, you know, the kudos need to go to the parents, too. I know I have a great staff, but we have some parents that are committed to kids and their education. And, you know, small school offers a quality education that you can't offer in a big school. And that's just something that's reality. It's more personalized. But
yeah, you got the smaller class size, a little more one-on-one time probably.
One-on-one. You know, it brings us challenges. We don't have all the, you know, sometimes all the resources, but it sometimes just comes down to one-on-one instruction. We have multi-grade classrooms, you know, which we try to put a pair in there to assist with those things. But the staff we have does a good job. We try to provide those interventions that need to be provided. But that one-on-one quality time with teachers, it is like a small family. And, you know, my teachers have to work super hard. And your 7-12 teachers, your core, whatever, they teach basically every class. So they have one prep for and sometimes eight classes. You know, your K-12 elective teachers, they teach everywhere from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. So with that, when you're prepping for those things, you know, requires a little extra work. So kudos to the staff for making this work right now.
Yeah, you know, education funding is always a difficult topic because you never want to slash too much from education because obviously that's, you know, your children's education and community's education. But it's always tough when you have to go in and make those decisions. Like you mentioned, you know, not all the funding is coming in as it once was. So sometimes you got to trim some of the fat, as they say.
Absolutely. You know, and APA came out with a recommendation because small school districts, there's four of us that have really bonded together, and we have a monthly meeting, and that's Dubois, Metitzi, Tensleep, and us. And APA's recommendation came out and showed some inequalities with how small school districts or small schools are funded. So, like even in Johnson County, that would be KC with that point. And we're hoping to get that kind of through. There's just a certain, and I call it a table or, you know, a benchmark that at a certain point of time, it's just that's what it costs to do business. We're not asking for more money. We're just actually asking for the cost to provide the basket of goods. We want our kids to be able to qualify for the Hathaway. We want our kids to be college or career ready. And, you know, not every kid is going to go on to a 4-year. So we want them to be career ready. So you have to provide some of those opportunities. And it just costs a little more to do that in rural Wyoming. And when you look at it, most of Wyoming is rural. So there's a cost that goes along with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And talk a little bit about the WIOTAP assessment. What exactly is the WIOTAP assessment?
Well, the WIOTAP assessment is the new state assessment. It's replacing PAWS. You know, parents see a lot of that. We still do MAP testing in Sheridan 3, but they're called interim assessments. There's been two of those this year with the WIOTAP, and then the summative assessment will be this spring, which will be a little bit later. But one of the exciting things about WIOTAP is it's also going to have a modular system, so we can do some formative assessments just within the classroom and kind of know, make sure we're on track for our kids to be successful with WIOTAP. The other part of WIOTAP that is good for me, it's AERS. It's an AERS assessment. We're going to be able to compare ourselves to other states. And, you know, formerly with PAWS, that was ours. That was no other state. So when we start talking about comparison, there was no comparison because our assessment wasn't similar to what other states. So this is going to give us as a state an opportunity to compare how we're competing with other districts. NAEP and MAP were kind of some areas we did have some correlation with in the past, but PAWS is going to give us a state assessment, which is an accountability piece that we can kind of help grow as school districts. It should be very supportive to teachers. It looks like at this point, they're still in the developmental stage, especially in the K-1-2 assessment piece, that we can actually start making some changes. But everybody's going to have to realize there's going to be a transition point. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 years. because temporarily what we see with the current Wild Top assessment is how kids score is a lot different than what they're scoring on PAWS. And an example of this is on MAP testing. The national average, you're at grade level if you're at the 50th percentile. Well, our goal is on MAP, our kids have to be at the 70th percentile in order for us to even consider they're going to be on track to be proficient with PAWS. So we kind of need to see how these assessments align out and give school districts an opportunity to work through the process and see where they need to be. It's kind of like, I look at it this way. You give somebody a rifle and they go out and they shoot all the time to go hunting. And then the day of hunting season, when it opens, you give them a bow and arrow. And the success rate's not really going to be successful at that point. So we got to make sure we're training and doing what we need to do with kids. And a lot of that is also coming with our standardized assessments and, you know, how we're teaching and grading and, having a standardized report card that parents can know to see where their kids are struggling and how we're helping or where more they're achieving, where their success points are. So I think Dr. Brown over in Campbell County made a statement a couple years ago. Sometimes we're rebuilding an airplane while we're flying, and sometimes that's how we feel. So
That would seem difficult to do.
Yeah.
And dangerous.
Dangerous. there is danger involved, I would agree.
Kind of taking it back when we started the interview here, you were talking about some of the events and some of the teams. And while obviously you're proud of all the kids at all levels, your girls' high school basketball team's having a pretty good season so far. 13-4 overall, 4-0 in the 1A Northeast, which is good enough for first place right now.
It is. The girls, for a young team, we have one senior, a couple juniors, and the rest are sophomore and freshmen. They're playing well. And that's a good thing. It's always exciting. It's also part of a small community, even here, Sheridan. But when their teams are successful, the communities are proud of what the kids are doing. And it's exciting to come down. I'd invite anybody to come watch the culture of Arvada Claremont basketball, even from the boys and girls, that supportive piece, all the way down into the junior high. We look at all those programs. We have more kids out this year in our junior high and high school programs than we've had in the last 3 or 4 years. So just that success rate shows that kids are kind of enjoying it. And it's not on wins and losses. I know our boys, the loss record is, kind of something, but they're growing. And the high school boys lost some great seniors last year, so they're kind of going through a rebuild year. And this is the year for the girls. So we all celebrate that together. But you're right, the girls are having a great season.
Absolutely. And just one last note here as we're talking about sports over there. You guys are actually looking for a track coach right now, is that right?
We are. There's a couple positions. We're actually going to be interviewing for a VOAG position this Friday. So hopefully we'll have that filled. Lynn came back this last year to she had retired and come back, and hopefully we'll find something with that. And right now the one coaching position is open. So if nobody is interested, contact Mike Sowers in Claremont, and we'll get that application going. But it is a 7-12 assistant track position.
What sort of qualifications would one need?
Well, you'll need to be certified through the PTSB, so you have to, and we can get that. For an assistant coach, it'd be CPR, and we can help with some of those things. So reality is, to be an assistant, we can get a transitional. So it's just actually somebody who's interested in working with kids.
Somewhat knowledgeable and has the drive.
Has the drive, absolutely.
All right. Talking with Charles Oski, Superintendent, Arvada Claremont School. Charles, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. This is KBBS. Good morning. Thank you.